Well, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? So anyway, we're having fun together. We're doing a series, a short series, called Our Freedom in Christ. What we saw last week is that, okay, we are redeemed by God's grace, not by human performance, not by human works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by God's grace that you have been redeemed, not by human works, so therefore no one can boast." Let me just take a moment and say, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your real and personal Savior, we're here to tell you that the Bible is very clear. Human works, religious performance is not the basis upon which God ever lets anybody into heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with human works and there's nothing wrong with human performance. It's just that nobody gets into heaven on that basis. So we just hope that you'll try to get to heaven the right way. It's really easy. You just trust what Christ did for you. And that's what we said. But then we went on to say, hey, the real question for us in this series is, once we've trusted Christ as our Savior, once we've been redeemed, once we're followers of Jesus Christ, here's our questions. Do we have to act in a certain way? Do we have to keep a certain set of rules in order to stay in God's good graces? Or to put it another way, is a follower of Jesus Christ free to act in any way they want without jeopardizing their standing with God, their relationship with God, their eternal life, God's love for them? And we saw that the great news of the Bible is that God doesn't change systems on us halfway across the river. In other words, it's not salvation by grace and then the Christian experience by works, by performance. It's all by grace. It's all by God's undeserved mercy. And we mentioned that there are a lot of churches and a lot of Christian organizations that teach that very kind of duality of system, that we become redeemed by grace, but then we got to live it out by human performance, and that's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches it starts by grace, it ends by grace, and it's by grace all the way through in the middle. It never changes. This is never about human performance. As we said last week, there are churches that teach that you can't smoke or drink or cuss or chew or hang around with them, which do if you want to be a good Christian. And you can't play cards and go to movies and wear short skirts and bikinis at the beach and have a cigar or a margarita if you want to be a good Christian. There are even some churches that teach you can't drive a brand new Porsche, but we won't go into that, if you want to really be a good Christian. And we said, survey says, wrong, totally wrong. God never says that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, God says that our remaining in His good graces and our Christian experience is by grace, just like our coming to Christ is. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ. For when you gave your lives to Christ, you were adopted into God's family as dear children." The Bible says when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become children of God in a way that the rest of the world isn't. And as children of God, God's relationship with us, God's love for us, does not float up and down based on our performance. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, "Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have gained access into this gracious position in which we now stand. Yes, my eternal life is based on grace, but my whole standing with God and my Christian experience is also based on grace. I have been freed from human performance." And friends, God wants us to know that we're free. God wants us to enjoy being free. That's why he says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "It is for freedom that Jesus Christ set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not let yourself be entangled again by a yoke of slavery." Don't you let anybody come along and tell you that the only people God loves are the people who don't smoke and drink and dance and chew and hang around with them, which do. Don't you let somebody draw you back in to a system of human performance in order to earn the favor of God. Friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, what the Bible teaches is we have the favor of God 24/7, 365, and there is nothing ever, ever, ever you and I can do as God's children to lose the favor of God. This is not about our performance. Everybody with me? Okay, now that's what we covered last week. For some of us, that's going to liberate us. For some of us, that's going to set us free. For some of us, that's going to completely change our understanding of the Christian experience and make it not a matter of drudgery, make it not a matter of toil, not a sour face, sour puss sort of thing, but it's going to bring real joy to our Christian experience. We're free. However, there are a couple of balances that the Bible puts on our freedom, and that's what we want to talk about tonight in the next 2 weeks. There are two areas into which every action we will ever think about doing falls relative to the Bible. The first are gray areas. These are areas of action, areas of human life, that the Bible never speaks to directly and explicitly. These are areas that are not spiritual issues with God, and we have absolute and total freedom as followers of Christ in these gray areas. They are, for example, that means you can go to the movies, play cards, cut the grass on Sunday. You can gamble, you can listen to rock music, you can wear short skirts, you can wear a bikini to the beach and get a tattoo, you can dance, have a beer, smoke a cigar, and have more nose rings than Miss Piggy. And as far as God is concerned, it doesn't change how he feels about you one bit. We're going to talk in the next 2 weeks, however, about how our liberties need to be tempered in those areas for the sake of other people, for the sake of our relationship with other people. We'll talk about that. But there's another area where if our actions don't fall into this, the gray areas, they fall into the other area, which we call the black and white areas. These are the areas to which God does speak in the Bible. These are the areas to which you will find a thou shalt or a thou shalt not in the Bibles. These are the areas where these are spiritual issues with God. You say, like what? Well, like lying and cheating and murder and robbery and lying on our taxes and cheating in school and adultery and premarital sexual relations and homosexuality and pornography and abortion. These are spiritual issues with God. Now listen carefully. As uncomfortable as it may make you or other people feel, we have Christian liberty in every one of these areas. Meaning, we can do any one of these things. We can sleep with our boyfriend, sleep with our girlfriend, watch adult movies in the hotel room. We can cheat on our taxes and cheat on our tests in school. We can do all these things. And it will not change how God feels about you one bit. It won't change his love for you. It won't change your eternal life. It won't affect his being your heavenly father one bit. We are free to do anything we want, and we still have favor with God. You'll say, well, then, Lon, something doesn't make sense here. Why in the world would God in the Bible tell us not to do these things if we're totally free to do them, and it doesn't change our eternal standing with God? Ah, because of a verse that I want to show you right now. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Here's what it says. It says, all things may be permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things may be lawful to me, but not all things are profitable. The reason that God tells us in the Bible to stay away from some of these things, the reason he says thou shalt not for some of these things, is not because we don't have freedom to do them, not because God's going to take away our eternal life or break our relationship with him as our father and we as his children. No, no, no. It's because God knows these things aren't profitable. God knows these things aren't beneficial. And God, because he loves us so much, tells us to stay away from these things because he knows they're harmful. Now, here's real maturity. Real maturity means that we're willing to stay away from these things, not because God's threatening us, not because we're afraid of losing our eternal life, but because we understand we're free, and yet we also understand just because we're free doesn't mean every single thing we do is profitable. You know the real definition of maturity, don't you? Maturity is you're willing to do something even though your parents told you it was a good idea. Now that's maturity. You understand what I'm saying? And real Christian maturity is we're willing to stay away from some things because God told us to, even though he told us to in the Bible, we're willing freely to say, well, you know what? That's pretty good advice. I'm going to take that. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time I've got, I haven't got much time left, giving you five reasons why all of these black and white things that God says to stay away from, why they're unprofitable. Why are they lose-lose propositions and not beneficial? And with this, then we're going to move on next week to talk about the gray areas. But here we go. Five reasons why these things are unprofitable and God says avoid them. Number one, because these things offend God. God is a holy being. And as a holy being, there are just some things that flat offend him. It's just that simple. The Bible calls these things sin and tells us not to do them. Not because they're going to cause our relationship with God to go away, not because we're going to lose our eternal life, but because we love God so much that if these things upset him and make him and hurt him and offend him, then we don't want to do them to him. Why would we? You know, I've had the privilege of raising three males. Now, if you want a challenge, raise three males. Let me just tell you. And one of the things that really gets to me is when my children lie to me. I mean, I can deal with anything. Tell me anything. Tell me the worst news you can possibly tell me, but don't lie to me. You say, have your children ever done that? Well, we're not going to discuss that here. But anyway, occasionally we've had a little trouble with this. Now, what happens when one of my children lies to me? It offends me deeply. Now, does that mean that I stop being their father and I disown them? No, of course not. Does it mean I stop loving them unconditionally? No, of course not. Does it mean I lock them in a room and give them stale bread under the door every day? Of course not. But it does mean that there is a loss of warmth and there is a loss of closeness in our relationship until we get that thing fixed and patched up. Well, friends, the same thing exists in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. These black and white things the Bible talk about, they offend God. Now, does that mean that God says you're no longer my children? No. Does that mean God doesn't love us unconditionally? No. Does that mean God doesn't provide for us anymore and he sends us stale bread? No. What it does mean is that the warmth of our relationship with God is compromised until we fix these things. You say, how do you fix them? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our wrongdoing, God is faithful and just to forgive our wrongdoing and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restore the warmth to our relationship. But the point is, why do that to him? Why make God, after all the Lord has done for us, why in the world would we want to do things that upset him and offend him? That makes no sense. Reason number two, that God tells us to stay away from these black and white issues is, number two, they quench the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. You know, folks, when we came to Christ, the only reason that Jesus didn't take us immediately to heaven was not, he didn't leave us here on earth to see how much money we could make and how much stuff we could pile up. That is not why we're here. He left us here so he could use us. He left us here so we could make a difference in our world and make a difference in other people's lives. But in order to do that, we need the Spirit of God flowing through our life. And we need him flowing through our life at maximum warp if we're going to make that kind of difference. And the reason these black and white things are so unprofitable is they quench the Holy Spirit. They pour water on the fire of the Holy Spirit in our life so that we become not usable to God to the degree that God would like to be able to use us. You ever played those video games, the video football games? My children love these games, even as grown-ups, they love these games. And have you ever played the football one? You know, you got the, when you're going to kick off, you got the little scale going up and down, up and down. You got to try to kick the ball when the thing's all the way at the top, because that's when you get the longest kick. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me, but my thumbs don't work at the speed my brain does. I tell them to push the button, but by the time they push it, it's too late. And I end up dinking the ball about 20 yards down the field, and my children think this is hysterical. But you see, I don't think this is funny. And I say to them, do not laugh at me. I bought the game. Do not laugh at me. I paid for this game. I'm not going to be laughed at. Well, I don't know why I do that, but the point is the Spirit of God flows in and through our life in the same way. We want the Spirit of God to be completely at the top of this little thing at all times in our life. That's when God can really use us. And when we do these black and white things that offend God, we pull that little meter down and we drag it down, so we're just dinking the ball. God didn't leave you and me here to dink the ball in our world. He left us here to kick it hard. But we can't do it if we've pulled the meter all the way down to the bottom by doing this stuff that offends God. Third, the reason these things are unprofitable is third because they bring bad earthly consequences on our life. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. Nobody makes a fool out of God. For whatever a person sows, that is exactly what they will reap. The person who sows to please their sinful nature will reap corruption, rottenness, decay." Whenever you and I do one of these black and white things that God tells us not to do, we will always live to regret it. I've never seen it fail. I've been in the pastorate 22 years, and I've never seen it fail. Because every one of these black and white things that God tells us to stay away from carries a sting like a scorpion. These things, when we do them, the consequences they bring are nasty and ugly and painful, which is why God loves us so much that He warns us to stay away from these things. I've been to Israel 17 times. And when you go up on the Golan Heights in Israel that Syria used to own, they were run off in 1967 up by the Sea of Galilee. There are some sections up there on the Golan Heights that have big barbed wire fences around them. And on the poles, they have these big red signs with a red triangle and a red exclamation point in the middle of the triangle, and then a big word in Hebrew, which means mines, landmines. These were areas where the Syrians set up landmines before they were driven out of there. And the Israelis, it was too much trouble and too dangerous to go in there and try to pull the landmines out. So they just put up a big fence around it and put big signs up, "Don't go in here. You go in there, you're going to get your leg blown off. You're going to get your head blown off. You can get your whole body blown up. Don't go in there. It's not safe." Okay, well, what would you do if a person came up and said, "Hey, I just want to tell you, I'm free. I'm free to do whatever I want to do. So if I want to walk in there, I'm free and I'm walking in there." Well, what would we say? We'd say, "Yeah, you're free. You're also stupid, but you're free. If you want to do it, I mean, if you're crazy enough to walk in there, God bless you. You're free. Go in there and blow yourself up, you idiot." That's what I'd say to him. And so would you. Now, how stupid is that? I'm free, so I'm walking in the minefield. It's pretty dumb. Well, it's no dumber than what a lot of us do, where God puts up a big old barbed wire fence around something and says, "This is dangerous. You go in there and do this kind of stuff, you're going to blow your leg off. You're going to blow your body up. Don't do it." And what do we say? "I'm free. I'm free. I'm going to do it anyway." That's stupid. Totally stupid. And we do it. Why? Well, you draw your own conclusion. I say it's because we're stupid. It's just that simple. And you say, "Well, like, what are you really talking about?" Friends, I wish you could be a fly in my office sometime and hear how many people, the one that we do this the most with is sexual activity outside of marriage. All the time, I have people come in my office and they've been involved in a sexual relationship with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. They've been living with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. They've listened to Madison Avenue. They've listened to all the propaganda on television. They've listened to all the Planned Parenthood propaganda and all the public education propaganda. And yet God puts up huge signs in the Bible around this and says, "Don't do it. You're going to blow your leg off. Don't do this." Amazing to me. And I sit there and I talk to these people, wonderful young men and young ladies, who have brought so much pain and so much heartache on their life because they say, "Well, you know, I'm free. I'm going in the minefield." Well, not smart. I'll bet you some of you guys here tonight are in the minefield. And let me just say to you, if you haven't already blown your leg off, you need to thank God and say, "I'm getting out of this minefield. This is crazy. The pain, the heartache, the damage that this causes emotionally, spiritually, physically, psychologically, this is crazy. I'm telling you, folks, God is not a cosmic killjoy. God is not out to ruin all the fun in your life. If you think that, you don't understand God. God is out to give you and me a life that is rich and rewarding and wholesome and healthy. But there are certain things that interfere with that, and that's why he says, don't do them. They have consequences that are nasty. They're landmines. And those are the things he has said in the Bible, thou shalt not. Reason number four is that these things compromise our spiritual platform with people. Remember, we said God left us here to use us. Well, when we do these things, we hurt our ability to be used. People look at us and they say, that's not an authentic person. That's not a genuine person. Look, 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to what Peter said. He said, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among non-believers, so that by doing right, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men. You're free men. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Instead, use your freedom as an opportunity to serve God. I don't know about you, but how many times have you been trying to share Christ with somebody, and what do they say? Well, I knew a Christian once, and they did this, and they did that, and they did the other thing, and if that's what Christians do, then I don't want to be one of them. You ever meet anybody like that? I meet people like that all the time. And you know what? It's hard to argue with them. Because some of the things they tell you about Christians doing, you say, really? They did that? Ooh, not good. Not good. How are you going to argue with that? Well, the point is, God doesn't want you to be one of those people they're talking about. God wants you to be the shining example, the difference, the exception, somebody they point to and go, you know what? I may not want to be a Christian, but one thing I'll say about George, one thing I'll say about Susie, that person lives what they believe. Now listen, is it possible to do something in a gray area that might offend somebody and turn them off to becoming a believer? In certain areas, in certain geographical locations, yes, you can do certain gray area things and do that. But folks, anytime we break one of these black and white things, in any area of the country, in any situation, I can promise you, you have written off your spiritual platform. People aren't stupid. When they see a believer lying, when they see a follower of Christ cheating, when they see one of us engaging in sexual activity, when they see one of us watching adult movies, they're smart enough to know we're not supposed to be doing this. Sometimes they're smarter than we are and know what we ought to be doing better than we know what we ought to be doing sometimes. And you do that and you become one of those people that they say, well, you know, if that's what God teaches you, I'm going to do, I want to be one of them. Why do we want to give people that kind of a reason to write Jesus Christ off? Number five and finally, when we do these things, they rob us, last of all, of our reward in heaven. Look what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, no one can lay any other foundation than that which is already laid, Jesus Christ. And as followers of Christ, we're all building on that foundation in our lives. Either with gold and silver and precious stones, that's category one, or with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, in either case, our work will be shown for what it truly is, because the day we stand before the Lord will bring it to light, and God's fire will test the quality of each person's work. What I really believe this is saying is when you and I get to heaven, God's going to take out a cosmic flamethrower, and he's going to turn it on everything we've ever done in our life. Well, guess what? The things we've done that are gold, silver, and precious stones that are really quality things that we did, they're going to last. When the fire's gone, they're still there. The wood, the hay, and the stubble, poof, gone. Now look what he goes on to say. If what we have built survives, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, we will receive a reward. If it gets burned up, wood, hay, and stubble, we ourselves will be saved. Our eternal life doesn't depend on this, but we will suffer loss of reward. What the Bible's saying is that these black and white things that God tells us not to do in the Bible, there's no reward in heaven going to be given out for these things. They're going to be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. These are reward suckers that we've got here. Why in the world would we want to do something that when we get to heaven, it's just going to get all incinerated anyway? And you say, well, what are these rewards that God gives out in heavens? Friends, I don't have the slightest idea. All I can tell you is when God has given out rewards, you want them. And so do I. I don't know what they are, but I want them. And why in the world do I want to do things down here that when I get to heaven, they're going to all get smoked up? That's crazy. I don't want to do reward sucking things. I want to do reward producing things. True? All right. So let's summarize. What have we learned tonight? We've learned that we're free. Thank God. We're free to do anything we want. Our eternal life is secure. God loves us the same. And our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father is never in jeopardy. But there are certain things, one class of things called black and white areas, where God has specifically told us, don't do these things. Limit your liberty in these things. Of your own free will, limit your liberty. I'm asking you to do that because you won't lose your eternal life if you do them. I won't stop being your Heavenly Father if you do them. But these things are unprofitable. They are not beneficial. They are lose-lose propositions. Because number one, they offend me, God says. And that's not a good thing to do. Number two, they interrupt the power and the flow of the Spirit of God in our life. They mean we just dink the ball all day long in terms of affecting other people. Number three, they bring bad earthly consequences on our life. These are like mines that are going to blow us up. Number four, they compromise our spiritual platform with people. They cause us to be the kind of people that others are talking about when they go, I talk with you. We don't want to be that. And number five, they rob us of rewards in heaven. They say, well, Lon, if all these things you've said are true, a person would have to be an idiot to do these black and white things God's asked us not to do. Well, bingo. I mean, what do you want to say? You're right. In fact, God agrees. Listen to what he says, Deuteronomy 5, 29. Oh, that my people's hearts would be inclined to keep my commandments always so that it might go well with them and with their children forever. Friends, the only reason God is asking you to limit your liberty in these areas is just so it'll go well with you. God loves us. And you know, there are certain things that I know as a 50-year-old, actually I'll be 54 this year. I don't look it, do I? Oh, God bless you. I love you. Good, thank you. That's right. There are certain things I know as a 53-year-old man that my children don't know. When I try to tell them things, I'm trying to tell them because I love them. I'm not trying to be a killjoy. I'm not trying to ruin their lives. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm not trying to control them. It's just I've been down the road and I know where the landmines are. And I'm doing it because I love them. Friends, we got to understand God's doing the same thing. He's not trying to be a killjoy. When he tells us in the Bible, thou shalt not do this, it's because he loves us and he's trying to keep us from pain, from heartache, from loss, from suffering. We would be smart people to listen. We would be smart people to listen. Now, we're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about gray areas. These are things God doesn't talk in the Bible about. Smoking, drinking, dancing, having a beer, margarita, going to the movies, playing cards, playing the lottery, having nose rings, earrings, studs, toe rings. Where else can they put them? Belly button rings, back rings, head rings. Who knows where else they put them? All these kind of things. We're going to talk about that in the next couple weeks. And let's face it, those are the things that are the most controversial anyway. Most of us kind of agree on most of this stuff that we shouldn't do it. But what about all this other stuff? We're going to talk about that over the next 2 weeks as we conclude our series. And we're going to ask questions like, so what if I disagree with somebody else and they're a follower of Christ and I'm a follower of Christ and we can't agree? Who's right? Who's wrong? And how do I get my convictions on these things? And can my convictions ever change on these things? And how do I know when to limit my liberty and how to limit my liberty? What guidelines does God give me in the Bible? We're going to talk about that. I hope you'll come back. But more importantly than that tonight, if you're in one of these landmine fields, man, I just want to urge you, be smart and get out. Get out by the grace of God, and when you get out, say, thank you, God, I didn't step on a landmine and blow myself up. Now give me the sense to stay out of the places you tell me not to go. Help me understand you love me. And am I free? Oh, yeah. But I don't want to just be free. I want to be smart. May God help us do that. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for talking to us tonight about these areas. And yes, it's true, we're free. And it's a wonderful thing to be free. But Lord, you call us to be more than just free. You call us to be intelligent, smart, wise. God, grant that we might have the wisdom to take our freedom and put some limits on it, the limits that you give us in the Word of God, limits that are given to us not because you're a killjoy, but because you love us so deeply that you don't want us to injure ourselves. Help us to really understand your heart. And Lord, for the right reason, help us to limit our freedom, not because we're being threatened, not because we're being pressured, but because we love you enough and we understand what you're doing well enough that we're willing voluntarily to limit our liberty because we understand that that's the key to a wholesome life. And so, Lord Jesus, speak to us tonight. And if any of us are in minefields that we got no business being in, give us the courage with your help to get out of them and stay out of them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.